the idea.
More chaos in the streets in Tehran. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Earlier today, as tens of thousands of supporters of opposition candidate Mousavi took to the streets of Tehran and also Ahmadinejad with his own supporters, it looked pretty peaceful to me, but no media coming out other than rogue Twitters, etc. Most visas are expiring and the journalists are being shut down for now. Here's what President Obama had to say about the election results.
It's not productive given the history of U.S.-Iranian relations to be seen as meddling, the U.S. president meddling in Iranian elections.
Senator John McCain has quite a different take. Here's what he said earlier in the day.
Well, we condemn the sham, corrupt election. We do what we have done throughout the Cold War and afterwards. We speak up for the people of Tehran and Iran and all the cities all over the country who have been deprived of one of their fundamental rights. We speak out forcefully, and we make sure that the world knows that America leads, and including increased funding for FARDA, the Iranian free radio. Foxes are in charge of the hen house. The guardian council are the same ones were in charge of the election that had these very rapid election returns. And it's clearly corrupt. The president should speak out that this election is flawed. It is wrong. It's a deprivation of the Iranian people of their basic human right. He should speak out that this is a corrupt, flawed sham of an election. The Iranian people have been deprived of their rights. We support them in their struggle against a oppressive regime, and they should not be subjected to four more years of Ahmadinejad and the radical Muslim cleric. Well, I think it's possible to engage, but item number one is give the Iranian people a free and fair election. I'd engage vigorously.
All right, you've seen him on Fox, MSNBC, just to name a few places. Jeff Atticott, he's a professor of law and the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University School of Law in San Antonio, Texas. Jeff, thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
What about what you just heard there from McCain saying that Mousavi really kind of deserves a right to have this whole thing recounted? That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. And it kind of, you know, history repeats itself. Remember when Ronald Reagan looked the Soviet empire in the eye and said it was an evil empire? I mean, that's the type of moral clarity the United States has always stood for. We are the beacon of freedom to the world. And, you know, to have a president to say that we're meddling if somehow we, you know, stand for freedom is outrageous, in my opinion. We certainly have to support at every opportunity the winds of democracy. And clearly there are many, many people in Iran that do not like to live under this dictatorship.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I was in the way I was surprised you said that, because just on the heels of what happened in Cairo and embracing the Muslim world and all that sort of stuff. So I 100% agree with you there. What's the deal on this? Do you think this was rigged, so to speak, to favor Ahmadinejad?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole election process is rigged. Even Mousavi is rigged, because none of the candidates can stand for election until the Ayatollah and his council of mullahs certify them. And in past elections, if they don't like your politics or your point of view, in other words, if you're too radical, too democratic, you won't even get to run for election. So there's really not that great of a difference between Ahmadinejad and Mousavi, because they were both certified as candidates that could run in the process. What happened 4 years ago is that you had literally dozens and dozens of reformists, real reformists, that wanted to run for office in the parliament, and the mullahs simply said, no, you're not going to be able to run. So the whole process is rigged. What's really interesting is people are taking to the streets, and that's what caused the Soviet Union to collapse, is that people simply took to the streets. It reminds me of a speech that that Fidel Castro made in 1991. And in one of his shorter speeches, I think it was only 8 hours, and he said, "I will not be another Mikhail Gorbachev." What he recognized is that if you're going to be a dictator, you've got to be a brutal dictator. You cannot let up on the pressure cooker. You cannot allow people to have some degree of freedom, because if you give that to them, they will indeed take to the streets in the tens of thousands, and that might be something that the mullahs are now having to face. They allow these sham elections to go forward, given the illusion that there is some type of democracy, and people are really demanding that they have true democracy.
Yeah, and that's probably why, right, that the mullahs, which I'm assuming it would have had to come from there, that they wanted the press pretty much out of the country, and they didn't want a lot of things coming out anymore from the protests and the 7 people being killed, and then some of these charges that military guys are going around the streets and beating people. They don't want that out there, do they?
No, in fact, if we have reports that 7 have been killed, you can be sure that it's 7 times 70 that have been killed, arrested, detained. They're doing everything they can to clamp down on this movement, and they're going to react like the Chinese did if they have to in Tiananmen Square. The Chinese people got the winds of freedom, blew over to that part of the world from the Russian experience. They took to the streets, and of course that regime crushed them with brute force. And that's what you'll see here in Iran. If they have to, they're going to bring out the goons in full force, and they will crush this this quote-unquote uprising.
Yeah, don't you think, I mean, are we ever going to really, let's be honest, have a relationship with Iran? It's scary talking about what's going on with the nukes, et cetera. Do you have to, does somebody just have to put their foot down and say, forget this UN sanction stuff? You know, somebody has to take a stronger stance. Do you think that's what has to happen here for things to change? As you said, the winds of democracy.
Well, there is an opening right now, because, you know, that's the problem, that democracy will spread if you have a collapse of a dictatorship, or if you have the result of a war, as we saw after World War II. We were able to instill democratic values in the German people, the Italians, and the Japanese. And this is an opportunity. When you've got tens of thousands of people getting out in the streets, it's certainly an opportunity. They're looking to us for, for some type of backing, at least some moral backing, and not to have a leader that says, well, I don't want to meddle. This is outrageous. You don't want to meddle. I mean, this is what America is about. This is really the only path to war avoidance, because you can never stop war, but you can take steps to avoid war. And, you know, history has shown that democracies don't fight each other. So if you want to encourage the stopping of aggression in the world, you encourage democratic behavior. This is a golden opportunity to win this without firing a shot. Remember, the Soviet Union collapsed. We didn't send any soldiers over there. We didn't have any conflict with them. People basically want to be free, unless you've been brainwashed in a Hitler youth camp or the madrasas, or you're at the very top of the power struggle. The average person, as our Constitution indicates, as our Declaration of Independence holds, wants to be free. They want certain inalienable rights that are God-given, and all people want those things. We just need to encourage it at every step and not, you know, shuffle around and say, "Aw, shucks, we don't want to meddle." You don't want to meddle. You have to look evil in the eye, condemn evil, and stand up and be counted.
Oh, I agree 100%. Jeff, can we have you back on again? You were terrific. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Jeff Atticott, of course, professor of law and the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University. Hang with us. More to come on the flip side.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Love and Marriage. Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome to Love and Marriage Radio. I'm Mae Chambers, the mom.
And I'm Erica Chambers, the daughter.
On our show, we talk about real things that all of us do to either make or break our relationship.
So when a guy calls me high maintenance, he's not talking about my car.
Join the fun on Love and Marriage Radio.
They doing all right.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Blown away. That's what it was about. Obviously, we just talked right there to Jeff Atticott and about how do you affect the winds of change, etc., and democracy, and see that at work. And supposedly, to the world, that was the idea. Okay, look, we're having these democratic elections, but it really was nothing of the sort. Obviously, the deck was stacked, and now certainly Iran doesn't want all these horrific pictures to get out there of people being beaten or any of that other stuff, except for the peaceful demonstrations, which we did see shots of that. This is radio, but trust me, folks, I watched it all day long. You saw pretty much both sides, meaning Ahmadinejad or Mousavi supporters, kind of side by side hitting the streets, but there wasn't anything disruptive about those protests. Now, you heard Obama saying he was reluctant, or the United States should be reluctant, to be seen as meddling. And the reaction to that by many, just like John McCain, is give me a break. This is the time to jump in there, if anything, and support these people if you're going to see any kind of a change. Now, the one thing that Obama did say, he did go on to say a couple of other things, was that the world has some deep concerns about the election. Well, he threw that out there. But then he talked about the whole meddling, given the history of the U.S.-Iranian relationship. So we'll talk about that as we move along here on the show. I know I've gotten a ton of emails about that. So keep them coming. AmericaTonight.net. Should we meddle, in other words, in a different way by letting it all just happen? Or you can call us, 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. James is listening to us in Connecticut, and he has a very special reason for calling in. I'm glad he did. There is a radiothon going on at WSTC, one of our great affiliates, longtime affiliates in Connecticut. James, how are you?
How are you, Kay? I figured that I won't be able to talk to you on Friday, so I might as well call in tonight.
No, I'm glad that you called in. First of all, let's talk about the camps where you raised the money to send the kids. I got several notes from you, and I want to know where all that stands, and let's tell the listeners exactly what, at your very young age, you have managed to do.
Yeah, I'm only 22. I'm from the University of Connecticut. I'm a junior there currently, and in 5 years, I have raised over $50,000 to send these kids to camp. And the purpose of this radiothon is to possibly break last year's record of over $30,000 that I raised. We're going to attempt to raise $22,000 because that's what I need to get there in 42 hours this weekend here locally. And we've got Jenny Stepanek, the mother of the poet and peacemaker, the late Maddie Stepanek, and Tony Orlando and Maureen McGovern and possibly Jack Jones and some other people coming on. They're just lending their time and their talents. This is a realization of a dream for me, Kate, because ever since I was 4 years old, I used to watch all the telethons when telethons were in vogue, so to speak. And I always wanted to do this kind of a thing where I could be a broadcaster and give back to people. And I was crying this morning because the dream is finally coming true.
Wow, no kidding. And I just cannot say enough about the work and what you have done. And I hope so many people participate in this radiothon for MDA, because your efforts to send kids to camp, just tremendous, as you mentioned, while you're going to school at the University of Connecticut. And it's funny you talk about Maddie Stepanek, and right. Oprah Winfrey loved that kid, and he was just such a gentle soul anyway, with his poetry, and so young and tender. But she had him on her show many, many times, and people still, in fact, she showed a clip last week. People still talk about him and the effect that he had at such a young, young age. Sadly, of course, passing away, but just an amazing kid. Tony Orlando, for a very long time, has been a big time supporter and fundraiser. Of course, people know Maureen McGovern, etc. And tell people too, you and you do incredible with what you have to deal with. But you, how long have you had cerebral palsy?
Since birth.
And you're a good-looking kid. You're out there. You're pitching. You're helping, and you're doing everything that you can to help the cause. What has been the most rewarding thing for you since you've been involved in this? And you've been involved in the whole fundraiser thing since 2005.
The most rewarding thing, well, there are two, really. Number one is going to the camp in August when they have VIP day and they invite everybody down to just see the camp. It's so moving because you see these kids and they have these incurable diseases that could potentially, and in most cases, do lead to early death. And they're happy. They don't talk about their disease and they don't talk about dying. They really would much rather talk to you about sports or their favorite activities or swimming or all the things they get to do at camp and just be a normal kid. And the other thing that really touches me is I have a kid named Cody. And Cody and I have been friends for about a year. Cody's about to turn 9. And I got him an autograph book of various celebrities. And one of the autographs that came was from Cookie Monster. I don't think I ever told you this, Kate. One of the autographs was from Cookie Monster. And the autograph inscription read, "Dear Cody, me wish you strength, love Cookie Monster." I cried my eyes out for 20 or 30 minutes when I saw that.
Boy, no kidding, and it probably meant the world. I mean, there's no question about that.
I mean, he hasn't gotten that one yet because I just got it in the mail, but I'm going to send it to him. And his mother was so excited, and she's so thrilled that we're bringing public awareness to this, and she's going to be on the radiothon as well to share her story.
Wow. And so if somebody wants to donate money, this is the key, because now this happens a lot with me. People will ask me, what do they need to do?
They need to go to www.mdactkids.org. I realize a couple of things. I realize that the economy is down. I realize that many of your listeners are truckers, and I respect them, and they're out there on the road driving, and they don't have time to write it down on a piece of paper, or they're busy doing other things. What I need you guys to do is go to mdactkids.org and just give a dollar. That's all I need is a dollar.
Mm.
And if enough people send me a dollar, not only will I break last year's goal, but I'll send everybody to camp. And wouldn't that be a miracle?
Yeah, no kidding. How many, and tell us again, how many kids are you hoping to send to camp?
Well, the record for me is 37. So I hope to send at least 37 more. I'd love to send all 70 that the camp can handle.
And they're all, and the kids are all different ages, right?
Right. They range in age from, I think, 6 to 18, yeah.
Wow, 6 to 18. And as you said, it's like they don't have any diseases, and the kids have different kinds of diseases that they're living with and dealing with, right?
Right. I mean, everybody thinks that muscular dystrophy is just one, you know, big umbrella disease, but actually there are different forms of it and different severities. Like, for instance, my friend Cody has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. That's the deadliest in males that are children. Then there's spinal muscular atrophy. And there's Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease, and there are just so many. And even, you know, even though we're not dealing with the adults here, May was ALS Awareness Month, and I know Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood lost her mother, Betty Humphreys, to the disease this past year, and she told her story on the telethon. So, and what I'm trying to say is muscular dystrophy knows no race, no color, no creed, no religion, no political affiliation, no age. It could strike you like that. And it's just so comforting, I think, to know that not only that people like me exist, and I'm not trying to say that to boost my ego, but that the MDA exists and that we're there for you and we don't turn anybody away for any reason.
Yeah, I think it's terrific what you're doing, and we're going to make sure that we say that address a lot to people, and just a great affiliate, WSTC WNLKAM in Fairfield, Connecticut. The address again is www, of course, mdactkids.org. Very easy to remember. James, good luck with that, and we'll keep pushing that, and hopefully you'll go right over the top and get all 70 kids there.
Right, and I will call you back sometime next week or email you.
Let
with
us
the
know.
Results, Kate.
Absolutely. Let us know. James, terrific. Man, we almost need, like a round of applause for James, but that studio audience, that's like our daily salute. There it is. Amazing what this kid, a kid himself, has done for others. Just incredible. See, there's people out there that care. Hang with us. We got odds and ends on the flip side.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's NuRevOnline.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe.
trust pepper spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call can reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
July 13th, the Senate starts to vet out President Obama's U.S. Supreme Court nominee, Sonia Sotomayor. Certainly, there have been a lot of headlines, there's been a lot of conversations about this woman's background and the cases, and that's the normal procedure for anybody who's going to get the lifetime appointment should she be approved and move on to fill the shoes of Justice Souter. One of the things that will be looked at is this discrimination case. Remember this case? One of the decisions I think that certainly has added some fuel to conservatives' fire anyway concerning some of what Sotomayor has done in her past when it comes to ruling a certain way centers around a group of firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut who say that the city discriminated against them when it said it was going to use the results of a written exam to help choose candidates for promotion, but then threw out the test when none of the black candidates and very few of the Hispanic candidates scored high enough on the test. Now, the firefighters sued and lost, and Sotomayor was part of the panel that heard their appeal. It is the same case that is now before the U.S. Supreme Court. I have some other interesting things to say about that, including something that somebody told me today, an attorney, about a thing called Title VII. It's the federal civil rights law that prevents discrimination in employment, and we'll talk about that in a second. Perfect person to join us on the show. He's just terrific. John Fuller from John Hopkins Hospital, talking about affirmative action, reverse discrimination. And really, do they have any place in the workplace? John, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
When it comes to the situation with the firefighters, and I just briefly mentioned that, the idea, and you may be more familiar with it than me, as I said, I was talking to an attorney about this Title VII deal. Are you familiar with that and why that ultimately, I guess, that's what led to the decision on this lawsuit with the firefighters?
Well, the Title VII is the 1964 Civil Rights Act that really guides the entire equal employment opportunity and affirmative action process. And it is a guiding factor in it, because part of the actual Civil Rights Act itself is that an employer can't use a test that is not what they say job-related, and the employer is presented with and refuses to adopt another test with less disparate impact. What the firefighters are saying is that New Haven went out of their way to make sure that the test wasn't culturally biased, in fact used a firm that's nationally used by a Fortune 500 companies called Industrial Organizational Solutions, to take about 3 months to make sure that nothing in the test was culturally biased. So that's how that manifested itself, because the firefighters felt that because the city actually went through all of those hoops to make sure that it wasn't discriminatory, they threw out the test because they didn't like the results.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that explanation. It's funny, I'd never heard, I don't know why, but I'd never heard it called Title VII, I guess, because always familiar with the just the federal civil rights law, just what it is, civil rights. So in invoking that, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the U.S. Supreme Court on this one, because it's, as I said, it's now something that they're talking about. In the case of discrimination, and I've mentioned this as one of the things to talk about, just affirmative action. Is affirmative action outdated? Was it something that worked incredibly well for a short window of time, or is it something that just needs to be changed?
I think it needs to be looked at. Most of my colleagues in the affirmative action field feel the same way. You have to remember that affirmative action was really instituted around 1971, and we can remember what cell phones looked like. Back then they were just invented, and Vietnam War was going on. We went through a lot of changes during that time, laws and really businesses and industries making sure that they followed the guidance of the Title VII, where they're not discriminating against all the protected classes. So the last case that went up with the University of Michigan, Justice O'Connor said, well, maybe we will be able to get rid of affirmative action within 25 years. But this case will probably have a lot of impact on hiring if it's bound for the firefighters.
Yeah, and what do you think? I mean, in examining, and you certainly know this too as well, because it's been talked about so much, in looking at the makeup of the court, certainly that plays an important factor here. If you were to play the guessing game, which, of course, it's almost like predicting what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, I guess, in a way. But what do you think happens with this case as it goes before the justices?
Well, they've heard the arguments already, and if you read some of the transcripts from the oral arguments before the court, the typical justices who ruled conservatively are for the firefighters. You can tell by their line of questioning where they're saying, in effect, if you throw a test out, how is that equal opportunity for those who actually did pass the test? And that was Justice Scalia that said that. So it is my just personal opinion that I think it's going to go 5-4 in favor of the firefighters.
Wow. In looking at reverse discrimination, do you think we're seeing much more of this now these days in 2009? You keep hearing that term. It gets thrown out there. It's reverse discrimination. I hear it all the time in the talk show world when we're actually delving into it a little bit. But people that I know that are in HR say they've actually had lots of people that have come to them and made claims like that. Now, they have to prove it or they have to file something, but do you think we're seeing more of that?
I think what you're seeing is that people are actually using Title VII as a discriminatory act for everything. I mean, it's not really reverse discrimination, because the actual Civil Rights Act says that you can't discriminate based upon national origin or color or race, and color is the key term there, where it doesn't mean you have to be a color within a protected class. You can be a white male, white female, and still have a discrimination charge. So they're really just using what's there to protect everyone. The whole premise for equal opportunity is just that. Everyone has the equal opportunity to apply for or continue any job. So there is more of that type of charges coming up now because just the dynamics in the workforce are changing. There's more underrepresented minorities in positions of authority. So you're going to have human nature take over where if one race discriminates, then that doesn't just mean that's the only race that discriminates.
Yeah. You have a great website, by the way. It's of course, 3Ws, atworkwithjohnfuller.com. And one of the things that's a giant headline you've got on your website, and it says workplace complaints jumped 15% in 2008, and now we're into 2009. Are we seeing this trend continue? Is it because of the economy?
Yes, and I do think that that's a major reason right now. The economy is making people put up with a lot more work than what they would normally do because before, if you didn't like something that went on, you would either file a complaint or you would quit. Now people are staying on the job and experiencing more of the harassment and discrimination because they don't want to leave. And they can get to a point and to the point where they just feel like they're in such a hostile working environment that they will come to my door and other EEO officers' door and say, I'm really being discriminated. I need your help.
Yeah.
So the 15% was the highest increase in EEOC history, by the way, last year.
Wow, that's crazy. And as you mentioned it, we're speaking with John Fuller, the Director of Workforce Diversity for John Hopkins Hospital. And, you know, certainly you're working in a very prestigious place, and obviously they're concerned, and you are excellent at your job, so you keep up with everything, the regs, et cetera. And do you encourage other HRs to do the same? Because sometimes I think it depends on corporation from corporation and also depending on the industry, like the broadcasting industry versus hospitals versus, I don't know, construction industry. It does vary, don't you find that?
Well, it does vary. It's just that every industry has to be aware that they could be hit with a potential lawsuit that could damage their business. I mean, we just look at the recent case from NASCAR, for instance, $220 million lawsuit for one sexual harassment suit that their management refused to address after 23 specific times that the woman brought that forward. So, I mean, you really have to look at it. That can be potentially damaging to your business and to the brand that you have.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Do you think as we move into the future that, I don't know, how am I trying to say this? I'm thinking of when I first got into broadcasting, since that's my background and it's always been my background. I can remember when I first got out of school and got my first job at a TV station. I was a television anchor, John, and it was at KOB in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I had to sit down in a room by myself for an hour and a half and watch a boring film about discrimination and harassment and all that sort of stuff, and then sign a little statement saying I had seen it. And then, you know, you move on from there, and that was it. And then I found, as I went to other places, they had workshops and all that kind of stuff. Do you think that as we move into the future, we'll see more of that, more hands-on training, I guess, that kind of thing for the employees?
Right. I think every business and employer should go beyond covering the base, so to speak, of having people look at a film and sign a form, because the courts also look at that, too. They're going to say, what have you done to prevent this in case they're presented with a charge? And you can say, well, I had people sign a form and look at a tape. And then the next question is going to be, and then what did you do? How did you follow this up? So businesses want to have that done in order to protect themselves.
Yeah. John Fuller, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for filling in the blanks. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you down the road again.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. You too. John Fuller, Director of the Workforce Diversity Program at the John Hopkins Hospital, of course. Hang with us. Some more of those odds and ends coming up.
millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
I like to see you look right across the floor.
Everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. I mentioned this before. We got a ton of email from you on a couple of things, including Ron Bravo with those opinions out there. And I promise we will jump to them a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, though, a couple of things. One, in speaking about Iran, we started with that. There have been protests now that started on Friday, and they continue to roll. They're peaceful, supposedly, but the media has been shut down. No cameras allowed in Iran. So what's coming out of Tehran is, if anything comes out, it's something that's been filtered through their media source, but really nothing is, other than what I called before rogue photographs and video and actually Twitter. People are using that to send stuff outside of Iran, but they're trying to shut down anything they can. When I say they, the I'll call them the mullahs, obviously. The real men in charge are Ahmadinejad as well would be part of this, but the regime, the dictatorship, etc. So will the protest continue? It will be interesting to see if it just continues to roll day after day after day after day, because we'll be watching. The world will be watching to see ultimately if this explodes in Iran. This is the most that they've had any kind of conflict since the 70s. Barack Obama has taken the bizarre stance of saying, I don't want to meddle. Here's a little bit more on what the president has said.
You've seen in Iran some initial reaction from the Supreme Leader that indicates he understands the Iranian people have deep concerns about the election. Now, it's not productive, given the history of U.S.-Iranian relations, to be seen as meddling, the U.S. president meddling in Iranian elections. And my hope is that the Iranian people will make the right steps in order for them to be able to express their voices, to express their aspirations. I do believe that something has happened in Iran where there is a questioning of the kinds of antagonistic postures towards the international community that have taken place in the past, and that there are people who want to see greater openness and greater debate and want to see greater democracy. How that plays out over the next several days and several weeks is something ultimately for the Iranian people to decide, but I stand strongly with the universal principle that people's voices should be heard and not suppressed.
All right, so of course people's voices should be heard and not suppressed. Well, that's he gets a high five for that. That's absolutely what should happen there. But the idea of not meddling, that one, obviously you'd have to take a few points off for that. As our first guest on the show said, it's true. If you want to see things flourish or change, it's just like in Cuba. There was this push in Cuba, remember, when who knew if Castro was dead, what was going on, because we weren't hearing anything. He was in poor health, then Castro's brother takes over, etc. And there was this one moment in time where it looked like, wow, if the people could uprise, if they could march, if they could protest, if any of that stuff could happen, maybe you could see a flip here in Cuba. And of course, the idea was in getting, as Castro, I think, got nervous, or the people around Castro and he's failing got nervous, then all of a sudden the power shifts to the brother because we have to show that we're here, we're fine, we're not going anywhere. Even remember there were photographs released of Hugo Chavez visiting with Castro. So there is something to that. And the Soviet Union example is a brilliant example. That's exactly what happened there. And it wasn't boots on the ground. It wasn't America going in, swooping in. It was the people uprising and then ultimately knowing there would be support for that. So perhaps that is the thread that's running through Iran, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. Speaking of playing out, this was a big one because you had a lot of reaction to this. A lot of people called this radio show to talk about David Letterman and his joke about Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's daughter. Remember, he said, hey, it was a lousy joke. No matter how you cut it, I'm sorry. He did the whole apology thing. We let you hear the apology. And he explained that the risque joke, as he called it, was thought to have targeted the underage daughter, Willow, but he was actually referring to the 18-year-old. And he went on and said it was a coarse joke, a bad joke, all that sort of stuff, because there was big outcry about this. Well, Palin accepted Letterman's apology. Whew, thank goodness. Does that mean we can move on from this? So he apologizes. He did it on the Monday edition of The Late Show, and some of the things I just told you rehashed there in case you missed it. That's what we let you hear on the show. And so now here it is a day later, and immediately she came out and she accepted his apology. And so I think we can, I mean, game over maybe for now. I think we can move on from this because there were a protest planned, and also all of a sudden you had a lot of people speaking out about what was going on with Letterman. Either they thought it was ridiculous what was happening because he was being blasted for just maybe poor taste and not realizing that the 14-year-old was in the stands with her mother at the Yankees game. But other than that, there were also people backing him up, and then people backing up Sarah Palin, and it became this you take this side, I take this side kind of thing. And then it also spread out into women and the way women are portrayed. But now I believe with Palin saying what she said, then I think that it's going to be put to rest for a while. Now, Palin has not agreed to come on the show, though. But here's what's interesting, and this is what I said on, I guess it was our Sunday into Monday show. I was sure. I mean, come on, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this out. Controversy sells in this country. There's no question about it. So as this whole furor kept going on and on about the joke, Letterman's ratings rose big time for whether he thought the joke ultimately was tasteless and apologized and everything else. Letterman pulled in 700,000 more viewers than Conan O'Brien's Monday night show, 3.9 million to Conan O'Brien's 3.2 million. That's his best margin yet so far. Because if you remember, Letterman pretty much trailed Tonight host Jay Leno by a million viewers or more. Since Conan O'Brien started on June 1st, he was pretty dominant with the younger viewers anyway, which is what the networks care about, that 18 to 34, because that's what the advertisers seem to be looking for. And he had the lead in the most watched category, 18 to 49. It shrank a little bit, but now the whole Palin thing kicked him up a notch. So at least for a couple of days, that's where the spotlight was. So how about that? And the funny thing is, and we'll have to get this for you, we'll have to try to find this, but I guess Letterman has a special top 10 list, top 10 things overheard at the Fire David Letterman rally. Because there was a little bit of a crowd still, even though Governor Palin accepted the apology. But like I said, who's going to win in this? Who's going to get the ratings? And then it's all about that name and that buzz. So he apologized. She said she accepted it and felt like he was really apologizing, even though other people thought it was a hollow apology. So good for Palin that she did that and moves on and doesn't continue to stoke this fire, right? I think Matt Johnson is relieved because he knows that we're not going to have to talk about it anymore. I did get a ton of emails on it, though. So keep the emails coming, whether it's about David Letterman's joke and the reaction to Sarah Palin or any of the other things that we talk about on the show. You can send it to americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Hey, coming up on our next show in the following days, some changes in technology with the iPhone and also some of the ways that we're getting email. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk to who I consider to be one of the best tech gurus. He wrote, or was one of the authors of Internet for Dummies. His name is Greg Stebbin, and he'll join us on our next show. You won't want to miss that, especially if you are a dummy when it comes to the Internet.